Church restored us. again. He will set the captives free. Every prison shall be opened. Every sin he'll take away. And the Lord will reign in Zion. That will be a glorious day. In a river it shall flow.
Praise the Lord. Well, I was just thinking about having prayer right here. My mom went home. Her blood sugar's way up almost 300. So she doesn't know she's a diabetic. She can't remember it. So y'all may try to help us if she gets into the sweets downstairs. We generally let her have one anyway, but sometimes she may overdo. I don't know what she might have ate today, but she, anyway, Sister Smith's trying to get it down. She's really shaky right now. And then Brother Albert Adams got a report that he has hairy cell leukemia, which is a real rare leukemia. I'm not sure, don't know that much about it, but they say that he's stopping chemotherapy and just going to trust the Lord. So let's pray for Brother Adams. He's young. He's probably still in his 50s. So I know he needs our prayer, and then we still need to remember Sister Jackie Tucker. Sister Rice is having struggling with her blood pressure right now. Let's pray they get it regulated where she's not having any more trouble. And keep remembering the Republic Church. They're getting to a place where, you know, they'd like to, the rest of them would like to get their homes sold and get moved. They're dwindling down and struggling with their services some. So let's keep praying for them. Let's keep praying for Sister Leanna. I just feel we need to keep her in our prayers and asking God to help her right now through all of this. I know there's other needs here tonight. And, thank you for the offering you gave me today. Brother Weiniger kind of took that up on himself, but man, I appreciated it. I really did. And I want you to know it. What else we have here tonight need to mention? Remember Brother Doug and Sister Yvonne York. They're, you know what it's like to pack up all your stuff and I just get tired thinking about it. All right, yes, Brother Daniels. I've been wondering about him. Sister Susan Weaver really had a terrible headache today, and I'm supposing that's why they aren't back tonight. Okay. He was going to make a request for you. All right. Let's remember that. Yes. Yeah. Keep Brother Crow in your prayers. Brother, Sister Fisher still needs her prayers. All right. Let's pray God will help them. Yeah, let's pray God will let them help them sell the horses and the barn with it if they need to, whatever they need to get rid of. Sister Montgomery. Sister Montgomery, yes. Yeah, what is it? She her blood pressure's up stroke level, so she needs our prayers. Spencer, did you have your hand up? Did I see your hand? I didn't. Maybe I just envisioned you had it up. Sister Angie? All right. Pray for their business and God send them good employees. All right. Anything? Oh, Brother Neth and I. Yes. She's got an ear infection or earache, yes. I should remember that. Sister Tanya, isn't it? It's good to have Brother Paul David with us here tonight. Praise God. Good to have you, Brother Paul. Amen. All right, let's stand and ask the Lord to help us with these needs. Dear Lord. Oh, Savior, dear Jesus, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, Lamb of God, hallelujah. My God, we're a needy people, Lord. Jesus, touch these that are in need of your help with their condition of health, Lord. here tonight. Oh, God. Oh, Lamb of God, these special needs that's been mentioned, Lord, and the unspoken request. Jesus, oh, Lamb of God, we're leaning on you, trusting in you, Lord, believing you for your will to be accomplished in all our situations, Lord. We give you praise. We glorify your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise your wonderful name, Savior. Oh, God, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. All right. Remember Brother Brett, too. Brother Leon Fizz wanted him to take him to Oklahoma City after service. I told him, I said, he can't do that. He's got to work tomorrow. That's too far a turnaround trip. But Brother Brett told me later, he said, I'll do it. I don't mind doing it. And we couldn't find a bus to get him there anyway. But I just got a note, though, that Brother Leniger's not even there tonight and gone on family reunion. So anyway, but pray for Brother Brett that he gets back safe. Did Sister Joanne go with him? Does anybody know? Did she? I told him I'd sure feel better if she'd go with him and keep him awake or help him drive. I've got a note here that says, please tell everyone that we made a newspaper and it's in the foyer. Is this it? All right. The Children's Sunday School class made a newspaper. It's called The Christian Corner at First Gospel Church. It'll be sitting back on this week's news. We'll be back there on the foyer table. Don't take it. This is the original copy. Don't take it with you. It's not, you can't check it out. Just read it and put it back. There's already another one back. We got two copies. Oh, we got a photocopy. Or this must be the original. Is that right? All right. Well, what are we supposed to do with it? Give it back? Can I read it first? Okay. All right. Has several things in here. One of them right here says, I love Jesus. Yes, I do. I love Jesus. How about you? Another one says, God is good all the time. This here will lift you up. You might just want to stop and read it. It says, hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding. All right, that's just a little brief introduction. Anyway, I appreciate the Lord I just really wanted to open the service up and turn it over to y'all. I know this morning I was putting emphasis on forgiveness, but I feel like that we should also include, you know, in the Lord's Prayer, it was, Lord, forgive us our trespasses. So repentance is included. to get forgiveness by repentance, it takes forgiveness. So I just thought I'd mention that in this pursuing peace, if you're looking for peace, if you'd like to be one with God, it's going to take peace. And you can't be at peace without forgiveness, and you got to be at peace with God first. That's why there had to be peace offerings. And I was thinking about Brother Talley's mentioning of the drink, the cup of the Lord this morning. I thought that was good. That, you know, the drink offering was part of the thank offering. And he said some good things along those lines of, Paul mentioned it in Corinthians, the cup of blessing. And So we're partakers, aren't we, of the table of the Lord. So I just feel like we're in a safe place, and the Lord is giving us good food to eat and to meditate on. Praise God. All right, Brother Paul David, we're going to turn you loose.
Yeah, I like to add to what Brother Smith said today. I don't know what you said, but I figure this will go along with it. You was talking about forgiveness, right, today? Yeah. Forgiveness? Yeah. Y'all, that story where the man was brought before the king, Jesus told this story. They asked Jesus, they said, how many times should we forgive somebody? Let me just read the story. And so then came, this is found in Matthew 18. You know, a funny thing about getting old. when I turned 40 years old, the doctor told me, he said, you're going to have bifocals. I couldn't see a splinter in my finger. When I got it up close, I couldn't see it. And I got it far away, I couldn't see it. Well, as I'm getting older, it's like the bifocals and the other ones either don't work. So I'm afraid when I get to be a real old man, I'm going to have lines all the way across my glasses, you know. Anyway, and probably, well, anyway, let me read this story. So then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. That's 490. Brother Tucker told us one time, that don't mean that we can walk up to somebody and slap them. Just walk up to Brother Tally and just slap him real hard. Say, I'm sorry. Reach up there, slap him again. I'm sorry. And reach up there, slap him again. Just keep doing it. 490 times. I don't want to be slapped 490 times. I don't want to be slapped one time. But that ain't what that means. But Jesus said, forgive somebody if they really mean it when they repent. And you know somebody, if they really mean it, they're not going to do it 489 more times. Anyway, therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought to him which owed him 10,000 talents. Does y'all's Bible, this is found in Matthew 18. Does y'all's Bible tell what that amount is in silver? Does anybody's Bible tell what that amount is? Mine tells. It says $3,840,000,000. That's the debt we owed God. And I'm sure that was probably the amount silver was worth at the time this book was written. That's what we owe God. That's the debt he forgave us of when he died on the cross for our sins. I couldn't pay that amount, but he paid it for me. The creator of the universe. He thought enough of me and you and you and you and you. He thought enough of us that he died for the sins of the world. All right. This man owed this amount of money. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. If somebody, anybody here got a calculator? Anybody here got a calculator? All right. Okay. Say we live 70 years. Multiply 70 times 365. That's how many days we live. I think it's 25,550. Is that what it is? Divide 3,800. I don't know if your calculator go that high. Will it go that high?
No.
Can you do it on paper? Well, it's a lot of money every day. Let's just say it like that. All right. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. That's what our Savior did to us. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. Now in my Bible, I at the time, and I don't know what a pence is. It don't even say what a pence is in the back of my book. But it was $3,200 according to right here. Now that amount, we figured it up earlier, and I can't remember what it was. Huh? Yes, ma'am. That's how many days we live if we live 70 years. Now, I know there's some in here older than that, but 70 years is the norm. Well, I say it's the norm. You know.
What the Lord gives.
Yeah, right. Yes, sir. Sir? Like, okay. Yeah, well, it says 3,200 right here. But that's just a few. Compared to the amount. If you took that amount, that $3,840,000,000, and divided it by the days of our lives, it would be more than $3,200 a day. So the point I'm trying... Okay, let me read on. And he laid hands on him. Isn't that what we do sometimes? Aren't we guilty? I'm guilty. I admit it. And took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me that thou owest." And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all." And he would not, but went and cast him into prison. Isn't that what we do sometimes? We hold a grudge against somebody. It's kind of like throwing them in prison. You know, we put them in a state of suspicion, a state of it's like a torment. You know, we put them in that. It's like prison. We do that. I'm guilty. I've done it. Till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after he had called him, and said unto him, "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant?" That's us this is talking about. "Even as I had pity on thee." And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till they should pay all, that he should pay all that was due unto him. Last verse. "So likewise shall my heavenly Father," this was Jesus speaking, "do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespass." I think that's a wonderful story right there. You know, and I know Jesus just made this up, but you know, our Father, our Heavenly Father, you know, this is Father's Day, and I'm giving glory to our Father. Our Heavenly Father forgave us of our debt, and sometimes we don't forgive others. You know, and I've asked God to forgive me for that. Matter of fact, God's even been dealing with me more than just forgiving my brothers and sisters, but I've had aught against certain groups of people out here, not just in religion, but just I'm talking about people that take lifestyles that are not conducive to normality, and even people that have been of other religious groups. I've had hatred in my heart for those kind of people, and I pray that God help me get over that. Jesus was an example to us when he died on the cross for us. He prayed, "Father, forgive them people that was doing what they was doing to him at that time. Lay not this sin to their charge." Jesus had that much love in his heart. And I want that. I want that much love in my heart. How can we go out here and face a world that is anti-Christ, and a world that is opposed to any kind of righteousness whatsoever? How can we be a light, you know, if we don't have that love in our hearts? I want that love. I want to be able to be surrounded by unrighteousness and still. They don't dominate me. What is that scripture in the Old Testament? Jesus, or God told him, he said, "If you obey me and do my will, one of you can run 1,000 and two can put 10,000 to flight." You know, we ought to be in those kind of... I'm talking to myself. Y'all forgive me if I preach myself under conviction. But we ought to be that kind of people. We ought to have that kind of love in our heart that we can be surrounded by others. People that... See, we're not, it's not in here that we're Christians. It's out there. It's out there when we're surrounded that we're Christians. That's when we're Christians. You know, you read history and you see where people stood up for him in the name of being Christians, and they actually died. You know, and I know we live in a different kind of world, but it's going that direction. I know it is. But I don't want to be afraid. I don't want to be scared. The Bible says, fear not him which is able to destroy your body, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body. You know, so people can't really hurt us. My brothers used to tell me, Paul, nobody can make you mad. I thought that was the dumbest thing I ever heard. And that's true. Nobody can make you mad, and nobody can hurt you. You see what I'm saying? They can cut your head off. They can, you know, whatever they want to do. But they can't reach you. They can't touch you. You know, I see that. Jesus was hanging on the cross, and they couldn't touch him. They could not touch that man. They tried. They tried everything, but they couldn't do it. Because he was what he was. And that's what we are. You know, I'm not saying we're equivalent with Christ, but we're trying to follow the same footsteps. They can't touch us. They can do anything, but they can't touch us. Anyway, I want to be his. And I love, brother, I didn't hear that message. I probably should have, but I love these kind of messages where, you know, we can forgive one another. Because I don't want to carry the burden on my heart. I think I told y'all that story. Oh, y'all may get tired of hearing this story. But I had... All right, it's kind of embarrassing, but I won't tell it anyway. I've been married twice. And some of y'all know my first wife. I had hatred inside of me for her for years. I was coming to church, dancing and shouting, getting up and testifying, playing in the band with hatred inside of me. And I ain't sure I got it all out of me. I have it all out for that person. But, Lord, I'd go to bed at night and lay my head on my pillow and dream of ways of finding this person and taking them out in the woods and eliminating them slow. Not fast, slow. I mean, I had felt rejection. And that's what Jesus felt when he was hung on the cross. He was rejected. Sir? That's right. No hatred was inside of him. Well, I messed up and read the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. I love that story. I love it. Joseph is a prime example of how you can forgive people. His own brothers turned against him, sold him into slavery. That's an example of how sometimes our spiritual brothers and sisters can do that to us, but we're not supposed to hate them. Joseph, when he went down to Egypt, he was sold into slavery and then lied on, ended up in prison. I mean, how much lower can you get than that? In a foreign country, in a prison, and I don't think their prisons had color television back then. You know, I'm sure they was pretty bad in conditions. But he never held it against his brothers. Or if he did, God helped him. Then he rose to power. And he had the power. He could have just said the word when all those brothers came to him for food. See, that's a picture. That's a picture. His brothers came to him for food. And he fed them. He didn't have aught against them. He fed them. He could have just spoke the word and they'd all died right there. No questions would have been asked. None. But he didn't hold it against them. And he finally revealed himself to them. I read that story and I cried. I said, Lord, what a story. What a story. How can anybody be like that? And then the very next week I messed up and read the story of the crucifixion of Christ. How he died on the cross. Jesus could have just spoke the word. He could have called 12 legions of angels down. But he didn't do it. He had so much love inside of him that he wouldn't do it. He wouldn't do it. And he could have just said the word. That poor soldier that was nailing the nails in his hands was at his mercy. At his mercy. And didn't even know it. He didn't even know it. I don't know if he ever figured it out. But, you know, maybe sometime before he died he might have. All Jesus would have had it done and said, quit breathing. That man would have stopped breathing right there. But he wouldn't do it. His love was so great. I read that story. I said, God, how could I? You talking about power. When you got the power to forgive people when they've done you wrong, and you do it, that's power. That's power. When you don't let your emotions override your feelings. Did I say that right? When you don't let your emotions and your feelings override what you know is right. I said it right that time. Okay. When you don't do that, that's power. That's power. I want that kind of power. I want it. I want it. Jesus forgave him. I read both of those stories. And I was driving down the road one day. I was praying and said, God, I want to be like that. Now, this hatred I had inside of me was so bad that every time I even thought of that girl, I'd start having muscle spasms. I mean, it was bad. I had to pull over, I think, one time. It got to hurting so bad. But I felt God say, what about you want to forgive people? I said, yeah. He said, what about this individual? You're talking about a war. An angel on one side and the devil on the other. And when I'm saying, no, yes, no, yes. Yeah, y'all ever feel that way? Y'all ever feel that way? I mean, a battle, a war. I know it's in here. It's not really. I know you're right. It was a war. I said, Lord, I want to forgive everybody else, not her. And he said, no, you got to forgive her too. She did not do to you what they did to me. She didn't owe me no $3,840,000. She didn't owe me that. She didn't even owe me $3,200. Not really. She didn't hurt me. But I felt it. I thought she did. I was rejected, you know. Anyway, I said, okay, God, I'm going to have help here. You know, God hears you when you pray. Jehovah's Witness. Is there any Jehovah's Witness here today? He tried to tell me one day, you got to mandate the name Jehovah or he won't even hear your prayer. I said, you don't know what you're talking about. Oh, kid, you know. What if he's falling off a cliff? You know, in that time to mandate any name, you know. Hey! Like the guy that grabbed the twig. Y'all remember that story? Yeah. Huh? Yeah, is there anybody else? Y'all heard that story, haven't you? Huh? No? This fellow fell off a cliff. It may have happened sometime. I don't know. He grabbed a twig and he was hanging on and he said, help! Help! Can you imagine? I would be hollering it. You know, that's the condition we're in. We should be hollering. I'm telling you. Help! Yeah. And he heard a voice say, yes? He said, who's up there? You know, who's up there? I said, this is God. Oh, thank you. He said, will you help me? Yes. Okay. What do you want me to do? Turn loose that limb. The man says, is there anybody else up there? You wouldn't have the time to vandate. The word vandate just simply means say. Hey, okay. And the man was trying to tell me, you had to say the name Jehovah, or God wouldn't even hear you. I told him, buddy, I know better than that. You done come too late in life to tell me that one. Anyway, but I prayed. And sure enough, I'm going to tell y'all this. Y'all may not believe it. I always liked sitting on the second row. All the time I didn't plan to be in. Y'all know that. And we had a rule here in the church. You couldn't serve on usher duty if you wasn't faithful. Well, I wasn't faithful in attendance. You know, that was pretty obvious, you know. And I was sitting in church. I come to church, and this sister was sitting here. And I'm just sitting there. Come time to take up the offering. And Brother Phil Thompson was the head usher that month. They tapped me on the shoulder and said, Brother Paul, will you help us take up the offering? I said, do what? Well, yeah, I'll help you. You know, I'm thinking, yeah, I have. So I went back there, and Brother Phil said, Brother Paul, I want you to take that row right over there. So I took the offering pan, I turned around to take that row, and that sister was sitting on that row, and I couldn't go up the row. I turned around, I said, buddy, I'm sorry, Brother Phil, I can't take that row. And he looked at me with the strangest look, like, Brother Paul, what is wrong with you? I just told you what to do. Well, he looked up the aisle and he seen. He knew. He said, all right, Brother Paul. I'm okay. You can take that out right there. All right. I said, okay. Well, I was able to come to church the next service. This is funny. But it was God. I knew it was God. I said, Ellen, come time to take up the offering. And it had switched. Brother Tally was the head usher that month. And so, come time to take up the offering. Tap, tap, tap on his shoulder. Brother Paul, will you help us take up the offering? I said, what? Sure. I don't mind. I don't mind. So I went back there, got the pen. Brother Tally told me, Brother Paul, I'm going to take that out right over there. All right. And I turned around to get it, take it. And I couldn't go up the aisle. That sister was on that aisle. I turned around and said, Brother Tally, I'm sorry. I can't take that out. Brother Tally looked at me the very exact same way, like twins. And Brother Paul, you know, what? I said, let me take this out. Brother Tally looked up her. He knew. Sure, Brother Paul, you can take that out. Okay. So I took that out. The very next service, I was able to be here again, three in a row. And that night, that sister got up and repented to the church for what she had done. And individuals. And I knew she was talking to me. I knew she was. And it was that battle again. I mean, and it was inside my head, Sister Brian. It was inside of my head. It felt like an angel and a devil. More like an angel talking to the devil. Man, I said, God, what did, you know. And it was like a voice inside of me said, you asked for help. I'm giving it to you. Now, I want you to forgive that woman. I mean, it was strong. It was strong. And I did not want to do that. And I was thinking of them two stories. I said, Lord, I want to be like Joseph. I want to be like Jesus. You know, you. He said, then you're going to have to forgive. I said, yes, I forgive. I like to fell out of the chair, you know. I heard people talk about receiving the Holy Ghost. And that load, it was heavy. It was super, super heavy. And I didn't even realize it. It's like you gain weight, you know, and you know how, I guess you women that's had babies, y'all might know more about that. It was just like a super weight was just gone all of a sudden. You know, and I'm sorry to compare it to, we men folks, we can't lose weight that fast. Anyway, but it was heavy. It was super heavy. I mean, it was like, boom, and I like to fell out of my chair. I said, Lord, I forgive. And I promised myself I would not let that happen again. You know, people do things to me. I would not let that kind of evil creep inside of me. And I thank God's helped me. God's helped me. God has helped me. I don't hold grudges against, you know, Brother Bryant and I've got into it over the phone. He said, Brother Paul, you ain't forgiven. I said, Brother Brian, I am forgiven. I have not got anything. He said, well, you need to learn how to forgive more. Okay, I'll work on it. But I want to forgive. I want to forgive. I want that love in my heart. I want that forgiveness in my heart. And even, well, I'll just go ahead and tell y'all what kind of people. I've always felt like gay people should be lined up and mowed down with a machine gun. Can you believe that? Can you believe that? Playing in the band, testifying, getting out here dancing and shouting. And I know it's not the people that we hate. It's the sin. That's what we hate. I got on the internet talk some time back and was just playing with it. And I happened on this webpage where people were testifying. They had lived that lifestyle. And because somebody loved them enough to come up to them and tell them about somebody that really loved them, they was able to change their lifestyle. I read all those testimonies. I thought, and again, I leaned back in my chair. I said, God, I need help. Lord, because I ain't even want to be around them people, you know. And here, you know, if they didn't have somebody come up to them and talk to them about the Lord, they would not have changed. And you might say, well, God destroyed two cities in the Old Testament because of that sin. That's true. That's true. He did. But here we are today. We're doing what God wants us to do. We are the light of the world. We are a city that's set on a hill that can't be hid. It's us. It's us. It's nobody else. And it might be others. But what I mean, it's us too. We can't run from our responsibility. It's our responsibility. Most of these testimonies were people, they said they couldn't find, I'll just tell you what they said. They said they couldn't find in a relationship what they needed to feel that to feel that emptiness down inside them. Well, you can't find in a relationship anything to fill an emptiness down inside of yourself. You can't do it. And that's not running people down. People are great. I love people. But you can't find that. It's not, it's a spot reserved for our Savior. That's what it is. Well, these people, the women folks, said that the men were so self-centered in their thinking that they decided they would turn to the same gender. When they did that, they found out the same conditions existed. And then the men said the women were so self-centered and selfish, they decided to turn to the same gender. And then they found out the same situation existed. So that wasn't the answer. But they didn't know what to do. Okay, so somebody thought enough of them that they approached them and told them about Jesus. They said, I'd like to tell you about somebody that really loves you. That's what they wanted anyway. So they started seeking his face. And when they did, they found that satisfaction that they were supposed to have to begin with. And then they'd ask, well, according to God's word, I'm not supposed to be living the lifestyle that I'm living. But yet, I've done grown accustomed to it. I kind of like it. What am I supposed to do? Well, the people that talked to him about the Lord told him, well, you just keep seeking God's face. You just keep seeking God's face. And they found out in time that their desires changed. Have we not found out the same thing applies to us? Our desires change. We become new creatures in God. We become people that want to go in a positive direction. That's what they found out. So I prayed. I said, God, help me to show the love I'm supposed to show to these people. I'm not accepting their lifestyle. I'm not accepting it whatsoever. But I do accept them if they want to change. And I think our Savior accepts them if they want to change. Then I was listening to a minister talk on the radio. He's talking about this fellow was an Islam individual. And his curiosity killed him to the point that he picked up a Bible and started reading it. And he liked what he read. And he decided, well, if that book is really that good, maybe I'll go to a Christian church. So he did. When he went to that Christian church, they met him at the door. The ushers met him at the door and they told him, you get out of here. You go be with your kind. The man turned around. He said, wow, if they're like that, I don't want nothing to do with them. Turned around, walked off. We are special people. At least I think we are. We're God's people. We reach out to people in love. That's the only way we're going to change people in love. And forgiveness and kindness and tenderness. That's the only way we're going to do it. Anyway, I just had this on my mind and heart so long. I told them the same thing in Glenwood today. If any of them was here, they'd tell you they heard. I've heard this message before. But I just wanted to share it with you. I hope it gave you some good. I hope it did. I just want you to know. Brother Smith, thank you for talking about forgiveness. Thank you. Thank anybody for holding up a standard. I think that's a standard we ought to all live by. It's forgiveness, love, tenderness. That's what we ought to have in our heart. I want y'all to know I'm happy to be here tonight. God's good. I felt his presence when I walked in the door. Those arms of love, those arms of love is right back there at the door, Brother Smith. I feel good about that. God is good. I'm glad to be here tonight.
want to say how much I appreciate Brother Paul's talking. That was really inspirational. And I've always believed in forgiveness. I believe you get a long ways by forgiving people and letting things go versus holding on to them and holding it over their head, because it doesn't benefit either one. And I'm really thankful that God's helped put those principles in my life. And I'm not saying that I always walk by that every second of the day, because sometimes we all fall short of things. But I'm glad that I'm working on that more and more each day, to learn to forgive and let things go, and to walk more in Jesus and to be more like Him. And I'm thankful that we have a place where we can go and learn about Him, and where we can share that with the world. And as I grow in God, I want my desires to be more of a light. And I know right now, just coming back in and still being a baby in this, I make lots of mistakes, and a lot of times I just want to pick up a bat and beat myself up with it. But you got to forgive yourself too. And I'm learning that, just to forgive yourself and just to get right back up and just to go on. That's one of the hardest things I've ever had to deal with in my life, is forgiving myself for the mistakes I made. Because I knew when I was a kid, I walked away from here, and even though I didn't really live this when I was a kid, I knew about it. So I always held myself accountable by that standard. But I'm learning as I go that, you know, if you never really walked in that, then God doesn't hold you accountable to that. He holds you accountable to that as you grow in Him and what you know is right and what you know you can do. And then if you walk away from that, then you're kind of in trouble. But He still forgives us in that too. You know, like Brother Smith said, not saying there's not a penalty to it, but He does forgive us. And He keeps on forgiving us until we get to a place to where we can walk in Him and stay in that place. So I'm very thankful for God's love and His forgiveness and His mercy. And it sure is a joy to share that with other people. A couple of the guys that we got working for us right now, my heart really goes out to them, because, you know, they say they know God and stuff, and but they're mixed up in this world. They're mixed up in this world pretty deep, you know. And I'm thankful they work for me, though, because as I grow in God, I hope they stick with me long enough to where the life that is inside of me can touch their life and maybe bring them in. You know, they tell me all the time how much they appreciate me and how much they care about me, and I really wish I could tell them, you know, in a deeper sense, you know, like they say they do go to church and stuff on Sundays, but I really wish I could, you know, show them the true love of God and how much God does love them, and how this world really doesn't have anything to offer them. They don't really see that. They're kind of flip-flopping. You know, they don't understand things like we do. And that's sad. So I hope someday the light comes on for them. That is where my hope is. Maybe God will use me to be an evangelist in Little Rock and to witness to people. I've tested it out some, and, you know, I've got a family and everything, and I've got to work too. But, you know, I believe that God can help me with this business enough to the point where if He wants me to, Monday through Friday, I could be out in the street doing His work, and still that income would be coming in. I believe that. You know, He can do anything that He, if He has a calling on our life to do something, then He can support that calling and make sure that we take care of our family and the church and our pastor, because in, you know, paying our tithes and giving the offerings that we should give, then that's taking care of the things that mean something to God. And I'm thankful that He allows us to do that. It feels good to know that when I make a sale, kind of how I look at it is, now I got some money to give God on Sunday. So I know the more sales I make, the more money I got to give to God on Sunday. That's a good feeling. So I'm just thankful to be here tonight. Really thankful for God's blessings. And just to give you guys a report on our business, you know, when that flood hit and I just spent all that money on those walls, really thought it was the end of the world, but I knew it wasn't. And God just kept telling me, it's going to be all right, it's going to be all right. And my mind just kept worrying, saying, no, it's not. You know, it's not. But I knew it was. And finally I got over listening to that other voice, because there for a week or two I did listen to it a little bit. It kind of got me down. But I knew better than that. It was just a really, really hard test. It's kind of like God allowed me to be built up there for a while, and then he allowed a big old wave to come and see how far back it was going to wash me. Well, it didn't wash me back very far because I didn't want to go backwards. But it bent the tree a little bit, but it sprung right back up because them roots are starting to grow down pretty deep. But in the last month and a half, I'd say. Is that how long it's been? 2 months? Month? Well, it's only been a month. Okay, well, it's only been a month. Sure seems like it's been longer. I guess I was glad to get away from that time period. Put it behind me. But he really has helped us in the last month. And in the last 12 days, I think, I've made 9 sales. And, I mean, that's pretty amazing. You know, every home I go into, and I've really been thinking about it, because I know that I got to go in there and do my job. But, you know, I was thinking about the other day, Lord, like on the last sell that I made the other day, I thought, you know, God, how much are you in this? Because that guy, you know, didn't even really want to buy that machine. He did, but he didn't, you know. And then right there at the end, he just went and pulled some cash out and handed it to me. And I didn't for sure know how to close the deal. And it's like God said, boy, I'm trying to give you a say. And he just made sure that he let me know that it wasn't just my effort that made the deal, in other words. I was thinking about that yesterday, because I was trying to read in this and read in that, and I knew what I kind of should have done, but I didn't know if the guy would take it. So I just kept my mouth shut, and I was going to end up walking out of there. And not something I would have normally done. And he just went in the bedroom and got the cash and said, this is what I'll give you. And, of course, the Lord probably knew when he brought that cash in there that I wasn't going to turn that down. So it just lets us know, you know, like yesterday when I was thinking about that, I really looked into that and I really thought, you know, Lord, I can take the credit for all this, or I can give you the glory for it, because really, all in all, that's where the glory lies, you know, that he has allowed me to go in those homes and make those sales. And I really believe right now that times are a little bit tough. They're not as tough as what the TV makes it out to be and all that other baloney, but they are a little bit tough. But you know what? I've been holding on to that verse in the Bible that says that I've never seen the righteous without bread, or I can't remember exactly what it says. Yeah, the righteous forsaken. That's it. And I just feel like God's just proven his faithfulness to us, and that he's really helping us. And I'm really, really thankful for that. I'm thankful to be here tonight. I'm thankful for my brothers and sisters and all the encouraging words today.